All right, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 313 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. And in today's podcast, we're going to begin a series on the church in Philadelphia, the church in Philadelphia. Let us pray. Eternal Rock of Ages, we thank you for this time in your presence. Thank you for the grace to come again and share your word. Lord, I pray that may you please cleanse and purify our hearts of all iniquity. I pray that may you come and break up the fallow ground of our hearts. Let our hearts be open and prepared to receive your will. Let your word be sown as a seed in our hearts. Let the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth not choke up the word and make it unfruitful, but give us the grace to listen to your word with intent in our hearts, to not respond in lukewarmness or apathy, to meditate on your word and to put it into practice. And as we do so, give us the grace to be good, faithful stewards of your word and to bring forth a great harvest of righteousness, and give us the grace to be with you in heaven forever. It's in your mighty name, and to be a light to the people around us. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. So, if you've been following this podcast, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you're aware that we have discussed we've pretty much spent a lot of time talking in detail about five churches, right? So we've talked about the church in Ephesus. Again, the big message from that, again, I have podcasts on those, so you should go and listen to those, is that, you know, don't retire in your walk with God. Stay hungry. The Lord said, go back to your first works. Those first works were literally having that same hunger you had just after you surrendered your life to the Lord. And then the second church was the church in Smyrna, right? This church suffered a lot. This church was persecuted a lot. But the Lord had no con about them, right? This church suffered. And as we discussed, suffering can really grow you in your walk with God. And then the third church addressed in the book of Revelation was the church in Pergamum, right? We talked about how, you know, if persecution doesn't work, you know, then one way the devil can try to get you is with seduction, seduce you with the things of the world so that you can start walking in sin, start working in iniquity. If you start doing that, then the Lord will start fighting against you, because the Lord cannot behold iniquity. So it's almost like you're basically self-destructing because you've become in clover with the things of the world. And then the fourth church discussed, and that was in Revelation 2, I believe, was the church in Thyatira. This was the church that compromised. This was the church that was tolerant of evil. We talked about how little things that you tolerate can then grow to become magnificent problems, right? And we talked about how, you know, the Lord disciplines, and that the discipline of the Lord can really instill holy fear in the people that see it. And then the fifth church we talked about was the church in Sardis. That was the last one that we spent three parts on, right? This was like the walking dead church, right? You know, we talked about the importance of waking up as a church, like that call to repentance. You know, we talked about how that church's reputation did not match the reality. We kind of used the heart attack analogy to buttress those points. Again, I think it's a good discussion to really go through these churches. And please, don't be so quick to say, oh, this is a problem with the church. It's not my problem. No. Who do you think makes up the church? It's us. It's me and you that make up the church. So we're going to continue our discussion through the churches, because there is a lot of personal application with many of these lessons. So the church we're going to discuss today is the church in Philadelphia. The church in Philadelphia. And this church is discussed in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. So I'm going to read that from the New King James Version. From the New King James Version, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." Look at the characteristics of Jesus, right? And again, if we're Christ followers, we're supposed to have these same characteristics. "This thing says he who is holy," Jesus is holy. "He who is true," Jesus is truthful. There is no lie in him. "He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." Okay, so these are more characteristics. The later ones, they're still characteristics of Jesus. But there are things that are characteristics that are germane to him because he's Lord, right? We're not Lord. Okay, verse 8, "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, this church had no con. This church was all pros, right? The Lord was very pleased with this church. There was nothing that the Lord identified with this church that was a problem. This was very much unlike many of the other churches we've seen in the book of Revelation, right? And to give you a bit of context, right, Philadelphia as a city, you know, in those times, was a city that had a lot of pagan worship, lots of pagan worship. There was a lot of opposition to people that served the Lord, lots of opposition. And there was also a lot of persecution. Many of those people were heavily persecuted. And there's one lesson I think I want us to draw from here, that many times the strongest Christians are wrought in the hottest fires, right? Think about it like gold. Whenever you have like raw gold from the ground, it has to be subjected to a lot of heat and processing and stuff. And then the thing that comes out is something that ends up being very, very expensive. So that's the same thing that obtains, right? When you go through a lot of persecution as a Christian, honestly, God is making something very valuable of you, right? The Bible says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So within that earthen vessel that is you, there is a lot of treasure. And God is trying to bring that treasure out. Right? Again, if you remember from Hebrews, I think chapter 12, that we should not despise the discipline of the Lord, that the Lord disciplines those that he loves, right? The Lord disciplines those that he loves, disciplines those that he loves. So when you're undergoing persecution, when you're undergoing divine discipline, it's because the Lord wants to grow you, right? So this church was in a city where there was a lot of persecution, but look at this church had no con, right? That persecution had basically really strengthened them out as Christians. And really, you know, again, people can respond to persecution the negative way, but this church responded in the positive way and they grew a lot from that persecution. And I've kind of commented on verse 7 as I was reading. So I'm going to read verse 8 and then let's talk about what verse 8 means, right? He says, I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it. No one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. So let me ask you this. What do you understand by an open door? What do you think an open door is? Well, if you're really following the context of Scripture, and the Lord is going to give us an opportunity today to go through the context of Scripture, because this is something that I misunderstood for the longest time, but it's something that's actually really important for a child of God, a Christ follower, to understand. An open door in the context of Scripture is actually an opportunity for you to expand in God's mandate. Right? So like an opportunity for you to preach the gospel, an opportunity for you to minister to the needs of other people, right? It's an opportunity basically in the direction of God's leading. The thing is, Jesus Christ is the door. We see this in the book of John chapter 10, verse 9. John chapter 10, verse 9. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Right? Jesus Christ is the door. That's why you see at the end of my podcast, and I'm throwing out a call to you today. That is one door you want to walk through. I can tell you assuredly, that's a door you want to walk through. if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, again, I'm not trying to extract the commitment from you. It is the best decision you can make with your life. But again, it's not a decision that the Lord forces on you, but it's a decision that you have to make for yourself. If you want to make that decision, listen to episodes 254 and 287 on the website, 254 and 287. Those podcasts will explain to you why you need a Savior. Those podcasts will explain to you why you need salvation. And then at the end of episode 254, there's an opportunity for you to say a prayer to surrender your life to the Lord. And if you do make that decision, I will encourage you to listen to episodes 96 to 101. 96 to 101. It's titled The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so you can grow in your walk with the Lord. Right? So Jesus Christ is the door. The Bible says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Right? That is one door you want to walk through. There is no other person that can save your soul except the Lord Jesus Christ. Good works will not save your soul. You have to first commit your life to the Lord. You have to first commit your life to the Lord. There is a part of the Bible that says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. The only person that can save you is Jesus Christ. Human beings cannot save you. Human beings can fail. They can promise and fail. The government, the president of a country, your job cannot save you. See, there is nothing in this life that has any kind of permanence other than Jesus and the kingdom of God. Nothing. Literally, nothing. Right? Have you not heard of some companies that have been in existence for 100 years, for 200 years that crumbled? Have you not heard of a family? They had this great source of income. It was really helping them out. And then that source of income faltered. Right? The safest place you can ever be, the only person you can ever rely on is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that can keep you through everything. Right? So just kind of keep that at the back of your mind. Remember that parable, of the person that built his house on the rock. The rain came, the winds blew, beat upon that house. It didn't fall because it was built on the rock. Who is that person that was built on the rock? It's the person that hears the word of God and obeys it. Now, to continue this discussion on an open door, let's look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Colossians, because let's understand the real context. Because again, like I said, this is something that I've heavily misunderstood in the past. Thank God for giving me understanding. And this is also something that many people misunderstand, right? Colossians 4 verse 3 says, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word. A door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, right? So again, when the Lord opens a door, it's to proceed in the direction of his leading. Is an opportunity to expand in his mandate, to preach the gospel, to minister to the needs of others, right? This is very different from the perspective that is taken by the prosperity gospel, right? The prosperity gospel considers an open door to be opportunities for personal aggrandizement, for personal enrichment, right? Many times, this verse that we saw from our original text in Revelation chapter 3, right? Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, it is heavily taken out of context. Heavily taken out of context, right? This verse is taken to mean that, hey, the open door is that God is going to give you a better job. God is going to give you more money. God is going to make you very healthy and wealthy, right? No, that's not what the Bible is saying. And please, again, I don't want listeners of this podcast to say that, oh, Divine basically says that God is not going to bless us and God is not going to give us opportunities. That is not true. God does that. But God wants you to seek him first. The thing is, all these things that the prosperity gospel chases after, health, wealth, and prosperity, those things are add-ons. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This open door is an opportunity, is an invitation to seek first the kingdom of God, to preach the gospel, to minister to the needs of others. As you're seeking first the kingdom of God, the Bible says all these other things will be added unto you. That health, that wealth, that prosperity, that God taking care of you. God will take care of you, right? The Bible says, I've been young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. The Lord will not leave you hanging. He will take care of you, right? So my question to you today as we wrap up this podcast is, what kind of open door are you seeking for? What kind of open door are you seeking for? What kind of open door are you seeking for? I will encourage you. One of your prayers should be that, God, please, open doors for me in my home, in my family, at my place of work, at my medical school, at my hospital, wherever I am. Open doors for me to fulfill your divine mandate. Open doors for me to preach the gospel. Open doors for me to preach the good news. That's what the open door truly means. And by the grace of God, in the next podcast, I am going to spend more time emphasizing these points. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word we have heard this morning. We pray for the grace to not just be hearers only, but also doers of your word. We pray that today, may you please open doors for us to proceed in the direction of your leading, to preach the gospel, to minister to the needs of others, and to bring much praise and much glory unto your holy name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. So thank you for listening to this podcast. I will see you, God willing, in the next episode, which I believe will be episode 314. God bless you, and bye for now. Shalom. And be a light of God everywhere you go.